فاتحة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله الرحمن الرحيم، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
بار دیگه درود بجے گا محمد و آل محمد پر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبیب الہ العالمین ابو القاسم محمد،
اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد،
وعلی آلہ الطیبین الطاہرین، سیما بقیۃ اللہ فی الارضین. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا. درود بھیجے گا محمد و آل محمد پر. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. As usual, a few minutes in English and then we'll switch over to Urdu. Regarding the discussion which we had started 2 days back, we were discussing what we are missing from our religion, why we are not getting the results which the early Muslims, Mu'mineen of Ahle Bayt Athar alayhim salam, were getting. I mentioned that we are doing a lot of practices, still something is missing, and we don't have that constant, we don't have that satisfaction, the feeling which they were feeling. Because of that feeling, they were doing a lot of things which we even cannot imagine for ourselves. And no, people are still doing in other parts of the world, or you may say in our centers. You can meet people in Qom, in Najaf, those who are praying hardly. Once an alim was discussing with another alim, who is Arif? Who is Arif Billah? Whose ibadat is at a level which he will be titled as an arif? He said, the person who is arif will recite Abu Hamdah Thumali in the qunut of witr of namaz ishab, in the salatul layl, in the last rakah during qunut, he will recite the whole Abu Hamdah Thumali, he will be arif. He said, the next day or the night I went to Haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen and I counted them, they were more than 70. They were more than 70. So, I can't imagine for myself reciting Abu Hamdah Thumali in Qunut. Can I say that they are doing that because of their habit? If there was no pleasure, if there was no satisfaction, I don't think anyone can do it. And repeatedly doing that every day, it needs a lot of satisfaction. Why one will do that? So this is what we are missing. We do practice our religion, but we are not getting satisfaction. It's not a pleasure for us to do all these things. until unless we get the pleasure, we will do that half-heartedly. And I don't think we will get the best of rewards for our practices if this is the position. So how we can get satisfaction and how we can get pleasure? This was the point where we started. And I told you that some of the issues must be changed in our life. The first thing which I tried to explain here was to be straightforward. Don't keep two personalities. If we are straightforward and we don't have two personalities, every act of our worship will be accepted. But if we have two personalities, lot of our practices will be wasted. They will not be accepted because of this source of riyakari, you may say, or riya in Arabic. And we have to root it out from ourselves. So first message was to be straight. Don't have two personalities. This will be difficult in the start, but okay, once you are habitual with keeping one personality, it will be very easier. You'll feel as you have got rid of lot of burdens from your life. It will be easier, much easier. Now the second point, how to get the pleasure? Here I want to explain another important point, which I feel important in our life, for our religion and for our practices. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
One main point which I could understand after so many years, and I still trying to understand it more, what orientation should we have regarding our religion? I think we have three stages of understanding the religion. We start with the third floor. We should go to the ground floor first. The ground floor of the religion, the foundations are beliefs. And on the upper story, the first floor will be ethics and morals. And then the second floor, the top floor, will be practices. Now, how to explain it? What is religion? What religion want to give us? I think it want to explain the realities first. And the point which I raised, what the Holy Prophet was teaching for 13 years, he was giving the realities. If you are convinced regarding a reality, your practice will come automatically. You don't have to force yourself. Imagine if you have a glass of water and you know poison is mixed in that water. Will you drink that water? No one will do that. And if you know that this water is having mix of Abi Hayat, which will give many more years to your life, will you avoid drinking? So this clarity in realities brings the practices automatically. You don't have to force yourself. We have to force ourselves. You want to practice Namaz Shab, you have to force yourself. You are doing, for example, Mustahab fasting, you have to force yourself. A lot of sadaqat we do because of our practices, because of our legends, or this is famous that we do that. Otherwise, many times we are not very much convinced for these practices. Why we are not convinced? Because we have not revealed the first floor, which is the foundation of religion, that is the realities. And what realities we have to explore? Let me explain the three stages first. First is the belief, which are realities. Upon that realities, you come to a point which is called ethics and morals. What should be done? What should be done? And what should not be done? What are beliefs? Realities. What is here and what is not here? What are ethics and morals? What should be done? What should not be done? And what are the practices or commands? Do this and don't do this. We start from the third level. Do this and don't do this. So if a person come in front of me and say, I want to practice religion, I will start from commands. Pray your salat, leave the music, leave this and that, and do this and that. And I think, for example, he will do it for some days, then he will be tired. And he will say, okay, why all of the people are getting pleasures and I am here, the religious guy, having nothing in my life and no glamour and nothing. And after a while, he will go back to his life. This should not be the first stage. First stage, we should start from realities. And in this case, many non-Muslims are much better than us, because they discover realities first and then they go for practices. And we start from practices, and with half-hearted practices, after a while when we are free, when there is no social pressure, and the guy is, for example, in Europe and America, no one is watching him, no family pressure, he loses all his connection with the religion. Why? Because he has not yet disclosed the realities. And what are the realities? The biggest reality, is there any God? Is there any God? Is there any creator? We should reveal this one first. We should work hard over these realities first. Ask yourself, is there any God? Really a God here? Okay, we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. But just saying is not enough. It is enough for you to be buried in the graveyard of Muslims and to be married with a Muslim woman or the other side. But this is not enough for your practices to be, to have pleasure and to do this with all the interest. What to do first? Explain or discover the realities first. Do you really believe in Allah? Ask yourself. Make an argument for yourself. I believe in Allah because of this and this argument. Then counter the argument by yourself. Then bring the answer again by yourself. After a lot of practices, you will reach a point where you will be convinced, inshallah, if you try your best sincerely, that okay, there is a God, undeniable reality that there is a God. There is Allah, who is the creator, who has commands and who has Sharia. Then ask yourself, who is the prophet? Once I was teaching at school and I asked the students, how many of you are Muslims? Okay, nearly all of them were Muslims. You believe in the prophethood of the Holy Prophet? They said, yes. Have you met them? Have you met him? He said, no. Why you believe in him? If I don't believe in him, can you convince me? They said, yes. He said, okay, convince me. They had no argument. Same thing is happening with most of us. You are talking about a great personality which came here nearly 1400 years back. You have not met him. You have only reports from history. You believe in his prophethood. Why you believe in him? Ask yourself. Then come to the Imam of Amir al-Mu'mineen and his awlad. And then the most important reality of this world or this universe, is there any life after death? Is there anything happening which is invisible to us? And the visible world is a part of that reality? I think this is the most important question here. And in the Holy Quran, if you give subjects to the ayah of the Holy Quran, you will get to the point that nearly one third of the Holy Quran deals with ma'ad, life after death. And I don't appreciate this phrase, life after death. I would like to say life beyond matter. But okay, this is not the right time to explain it. So the biggest reality, I think, after understanding that there is Allah, who is the creator, is there any life beyond this material life? If there are really two lives, the material and the non-material, beyond matter, which one is dominant? Both of these should have rules. Material world has rules. You are doing lots of practices in your material world. You have medicines. Why you have, you see, manufactured medicines? Because you know this chemical reacts on a human body in this manner. These are rules, certain rules. If there were exceptions for only 5%, no medicine would have been developed. Don't you think the non-material world also has rules? What are the rules? And which of these two worlds is dominant, which can cross the other's line, material or the non-material. I think these realities should be disclosed first, should be grasped first, and this is what we're not doing. I have visited too many centers, Islamic centers. They do emphasize on lots of things, but when it comes to beliefs, they are very shaky. Children are not convinced, and with this half-hearted belief, they were grown up, they come to the society, and at any point they can slip to non-religious life. Why? Because they were not convinced about their Imam, their Allah, and the life after death. So anyone who wants to change his life, this is what I have done with myself, anyone who wants to change his life, first practice hard on the beliefs. Do you really believe? Do you really believe in these beliefs, in these realities, that there is Allah, who is the creator, who has given us command, there is a life, certain life? I will just give you an example, and then rest inshallah on the next day. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Yesterday I gave you a practical point. Be straight, don't have misstatement or a lie, don't have two personalities. Now we know lots of people are not very correct, not very precise in their statements. How we can be so correct and precise that it should become our habit to be precise? And this is, there is a word in Arabic which is called malaka. Malaka is the habit which is deep rooted, and it comes unintentionally. The habit which comes unintentionally is malaka. You know, we are not still getting malaka of prayers, at least for the morning prayer. We do miss sometimes. Why? Because it is not at that level of practice of our habit that it could come unintentionally. We need someone to wake us up, or you say alarm, or our intention. We need something. Now, just an example of life after that, an impact of that life. For example, if there was a law, some sort of law, that anyone who gives a misstatement or tells a lie, his head will get the fire. It will burn. Okay. Will anyone try to make a lie, tell a lie to anyone? As he starts saying something wrong, the fire will start. Will he do that again? I sometimes say that, okay, he will try it again, that rule might have finished. And then if the second time he caught fire, I think he will never tell a lie to anyone. Now, the Holy Quran says that there is a fire which is burning and which is greater than all the fires which you could have identified up to now. This is burning. Not that it will burn on the day of the judgment. No, it is still burning. And Arif, in one of his statements, said, people are still burning. Right now they are burning in the fire which they have lighted, but they don't know it. And as they die, the thing will be revealed. As Amir Mumnin said in Nahjul Balagha, you are sleeping and you will wake up as you die. Inshallah, from next day, tomorrow inshallah, we will explain it more. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.